You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. This week, Danny and Brittany start a brand new series about the Kylo principles and how they apply to our singles out there. And if you're not single, don't tune out. There's some great stuff that you're not going to want to miss. Because really, we're talking about how to become a whole healthy person. And a whole healthy family is made up of whole healthy people. So get ready, because this week's episode starts right now.
Well, hi everybody. Welcome to the Kylo Show. We are back. We're here having fun. Today, we are going to talk about singles.
Oh, here we go. Back in the day. We were once single.
When were you last single?
Back when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Oh, really? Yes, okay. Yes. That's funny. Well, we are doing some fun things on social media about marriage, which has been kind of fun to see. But
what do we call it? Marriage, I don't know. Celebration.
Monday. You came up with the acronym. I don't know what it's called.
The second name stands for movement.
Okay.
Marriage Celebration Movement. That's what we're doing.
So for all the singles out there, that's your goal, is to get to be part of our marriage celebration movement.
There you go.
Someday.
Take a picture of you and your loved one holding up a sign.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, but for today, we are talking about singles.
Yes.
And being powerful, because we're going to cover all the Kylo principles like we always do.
Realizing that not all singles want to be married.
It's true.
Yeah.
But they probably want to be powerful.
They should,
yes.
You know, if they want to be healthy, it's going to start with being powerful.
Yeah, that's probably a really great place to start. So before we dive in too further, let's make sure that you remember what the five principles are.
Yes.
All right, so the first one we kind of gave away. It's in the title of this week's episode.
We'll circle back on this one.
Being powerful, choose love over fear. Pursue the goal of connection. We're practicing respectful communication and honoring healthy boundaries.
Yes. So. Again and again
over
and again.
And
we
over.
Keep bringing it up because we want you to get it deep into your cellular being. And we're still working on it.
Yeah. That's what we're going to keep saying over and over again.
We're going to keep saying it until we don't even have to look.
So you get a lot of dating advice questions, you know, a lot of people that are looking for that significant other, they're asking what do I need to do to prepare myself? There's this question always is, what should I be doing to find the right person?
Looking for Mr. Right.
Or Mrs. Right.
Or Miss Right. Yes. Hopefully not Mrs.
Yes,
Right.
Yes, it's true. Miss Right.
Find Mrs. Right. Well, keep in mind that you attract who you are, not who you want. And some people think that means personality types. I'm very extroverted and I attracted a total introvert. How did that happen? Well, it isn't the personalities that necessarily are similar. It's the values. You know, it's the wounds often. It's the life paradigm. I actually see life similar. It's a lot of those kinds of similarities that you find yourself in essence continuing your life. It didn't radically change like you thought it would. You didn't fix all those problems you thought it was going to fix. It just continues your life with a new set of issues around the same issues. They're just now in your bed.
Hopefully after you've gotten married. But you are attracting who you are, not necessarily who you want. I think I love how you just put that, because I think a lot of times, I'll speak for myself as a female, but listing out all the things that I think I want, that I'm going to find, in this perfect mate. And I would say that my list when creating for Ben, if I could make my husband back in the day, there's a lot of things I think that Ben definitely checked off, but I think there's other things in there that I probably just thought were what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at us now, I'm like, oh, I attracted who I am, the things that are important to me, the core values that I had that maybe didn't make the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that's I think we're often trying to better ourselves by bringing someone else that might be better than us in,
mm-hmm.
instead of being willing to maybe work on the stuff that we've got going on.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to marrying up, you know, like
yeah.
that's true for a lot of people. I tried to marry up. And that's probably true when you compare your strengths and weaknesses and that sort of thing. You're like, oh, they're really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that'll help me.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, you know, at some level, as long as you're connected, you know, when you're not connected, when you're disconnected, then those strengths actually drive you nuts because they're, you know, they're misperceived and you don't experience them the way that you would normally experience a strength. You tend to find yourself competing or feeling dishonored or disrespected by somebody's awesomeness, and you're like, man, you're just doing that because you think you're like, oh, that's because we're disconnected, that's why that's happening. Which is the danger of not getting well, as you have all these triggers that are like booby traps laying around in your life, and this person's walking along and you're walking along in their life, and because we've both settled into maybe we've both settled into a low level of healing.
Mm.
And so I see you haven't done very much work, and I haven't either. So we'll probably get along just great because neither one of us are going to challenge the other to grow very much.
Mm.
And then people get into a marriage and they discover that, and one of them takes off growing and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
And here comes this imbalance in the home. But now we're married with children and da 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 da, and it's work. It's work to keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up blowing up a lot of folks, is they didn't do the work early on. They didn't establish a standard of what we're going to live up to. Here's what I'm going to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
Will you meet me here? And the other person, while dating, has to kind of consider like, well, wow, I've never had anybody challenge me like this. I'm up for the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, great. Well, then that was a mutually beneficial encounter, meeting each other, because we will, you know, we will challenge and match each other as we go. I was just doing a podcast for More Revolution with all the single ladies, you know, and they were, they were saying things like, "Well, what should I have on the list?" And I said, "Well, you know, just calm down a little bit and don't start writing his last name after yours. You know, just don't start practicing that. Just, you know, think in terms of what is it that you value about life? What is it, you know, where do you see yourself going in life? And wait for the commitment to come. You know, the man's commitment is then matched with your vulnerability. Don't race your vulnerability out ahead of his maturity, his commitment to the covenant. Because the marriage, you know, the wedding is supposed to be him saying, I commit my covering, my provision, my strength, my protection to you.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of your life and our children,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, well, we're not going to outlive our children, but, you know, to you and our children,
mm-hmm.
I pledge these things. And then she comes in with, and I offer you my heart and soul and body and future. And that's the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So the matching of those two things is led by the guy, not by the lady. And oftentimes ladies run out ahead and they offer way more vulnerability than the guy brought commitment. And now they're just left out to dry when he walks away.
Yeah. We had a group discussion with the Jesus Culture School of Leadership last year, and Ben and I had the singles, mm-hmm. and you had the married couples, you and Mom. And I remember one of the conversation was this young man had been in a relationship, but he just didn't know if he could commit. And I said, well, I think you already have your answer, is if you don't know you can, I don't think you probably are. So the best thing you can do in that is to probably end this relationship, I said, because us girls are so emotional and just waiting mm-hmm. to give our heart away. So the more you play with that level of commitment that I have, the more swirl and pain this young woman is probably in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously she's got to navigate how much she gives her heart away and stuff. But the commitment piece for this young man, it was such a big deal for him, which was great. And I love that. But at the same time, it felt like he didn't realize, you know, the back and forth had such a cost for the trust level of vulnerability that she was going to be able to bring. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that that's a big thing for the men to be paying attention to and the ladies. But I mean, other than like a romantic relationship, how do you practice kind of that dynamic of, you know, not stepping to too much vulnerability? Can you practice that in other relationships? Should you practice that in other relationships? Or should it just be like, you know, how do you, as a single, like, develop you being a healthy person? Because mm-hmm. I can't imagine it just comes when you find a significant other.
No, no, no. That's what you're working on before you find that yeah. significant other, to find out if they did the work, right? Yeah. You know, this is about being powerful, mm-hmm. but what I'm about to describe is going to sound like boundaries. Because you're really trying to find, you know, your center. You're, mm-hmm. you're deciding where, what is your center? Mm-hmm. And my center is God, is Jesus. Is, yeah. This is my center. This is where my life is finds its peace, joy, purpose, you know, identity. These things are in my core. Mm-hmm. And I've established that. And so I won't be giving it up to a significant other. Mm-hmm. Those things will never be your job.
Yeah.
And so I have to establish that by really the cultivation around who am I, why am I here, and what determines my value. Mm-hmm. Then outside of that is the recipient, the first recipient of that, which is previous to a dating relationship, is really either a family member or a really good friend. And it's that soul tie, that deepest soul tie that you have when you are marching through life. And it, maybe it's your mom, you know, maybe it's yeah. your sister or your brother, an uncle, an aunt, somebody that you just, you bore your soul to, they protected you, you spent tons of time with them, you love your time with them. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the key factors, is that you really enjoy them.
Okay.
And because it's joy that bonds people together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, who is that person? Where did you find that? That refreshing, replenishing relationship where you could just be yourself and sit in silence and
have a good time,
read a book or yeah. fish or whatever, and feel revived as mm-hmm. a result of just spending time. And then it just keeps moving out from there. You can start putting more and more people in the farther mm-hmm. out, because less is required of you. But decide who you're going to put in those places. And that's the piece about being powerful, is that you took responsibility to cultivate, choose, and protect those relationships mm-hmm. in priority as to who has access to the quality that you've built into your life.
Yeah, I think that's great. I know that that's in the Keep Your Love On book. And that diagram and what you're explaining. So if you want a visual, that's where it is. But yeah. I just think it's so crucial for single people to really understand how much you have to protect that God spot.
Yeah.
You know, because it it's so easily given away. And I feel like, you know, when you get into this intimate relationship and you get all the la 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 feelings and all of the warm fuzzies, and then the more and more you want to impress this person or build an intimate relationship, it feels like you encroach on this place of giving them, you know, you being the source, like they become your source, which is when they shift out God. Mm-hmm. So the more you can practice this with other relationships, it feels the more reps you'll have in into the practice of, you know, not being performance driven or believing that, you know, love is determined by that performance. I think I would challenge singles. I don't have this struggle as much. I think maybe because I was a slightly older millennial, but that digital age where that's how we have relationships more than we have in person or having hard conversations or looking at somebody's eyes and having those brave communication, you know, things. I think that that's another thing I would encourage singles at this point is that digital platform. Though it's beautiful and it does bring our world in smaller, I think that we'll be more successful the more in person and contact relationships that we can develop.
Yeah. So unless you're going to Zoom date.
Yeah. You know, which I married a man that was from Australia, so I understand the long distance, but it's a lot different than when you're in person with that human and physical contact and looking in their face than it is a computer screen or reading emails. We had MSN Messenger back then, so showing my age here.
Doing stuff together, you know, walking.
Right. All of those. So I think this is great. I my heart for these singles is really to become powerful people so they can
just begin the journey of health and being able to spot it.
Yes. You know,
or the opposite.
Yeah. So fun. Well, we're going to jump into some questions.
Okay.
So that should be always exciting. Dating questions. We don't get those too often that we talk about, so it should be fun. All right. Well, we're going to jump into that and we'll see you guys soon.
Hey there. Have you heard about the marriage celebration movement? If you haven't, Danny and Brittany are wanting to celebrate healthy marriages. That's worth celebrating. So here's how you can take part. We want you to take a picture with your spouse holding a sign for the number of years you've been married. It doesn't have to be your anniversary. Just how many years have you been married? Write it on a piece of paper, put it on a fun board, however you want to do it. But a sign holding how many years you've been married with your spouse and send it to us. You can post it on your socials and tag at Danny Loving on Purpose, or you can send it in a direct message to him, or you can email it to us at info@lovingonpurpose.com. This is a way for us to celebrate whole healthy marriages because whole healthy families are gonna save the world.
All right, so we're gonna take some questions. And the first one comes from Gigi.
Hello, I have a question about Christians dating multiple people at a time, and I wanted to know if you could provide advantages and disadvantages to this modern way of dating and why you would do that or why you would not do that. And I suppose the reason I'm being asked about this for myself, to do this myself, is for one reason is to, as a coping or defense mechanism, when the relationship fails, you have options. And then the second one would be to guard myself and my attachments from getting too involved in the other person. It's a really hard topic for me, but I'm hoping you can help me understand this better. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay, Gigi.
All right. Well, I mean, my thoughts on this are if you're with multiple people, it would be hard to know how to protect my heart and navigate it towards how many different options, how many different roads am I taking going on rather than just picking one lane at a time and seeing what the Lord has for me there. And if it doesn't work out, then trusting that God's got a great option instead of me trying to be in control of it. Mm-hmm. I think there's a piece of trying to control love, trying to control, you know, being hurt, trying to control that I'm going to be able to to default if this doesn't work. So I could understand why, you know. Mm-hmm. I totally can understand why. I just think it's a difficult thing to be 100% engaged if you've got three people sitting at a table versus one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. I'm a one at a time, you know, maybe multiple like that. This doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Thanks for the coffee, you mm-hmm. know. I think protecting your heart also includes the work of a relationship. So if you have multiple dating, and I can, maybe the word dating is throwing me, but when I think of, you know, when you're dating someone, it's an interest. Like, we're showing interest mm-hmm. in this relationship yeah. and how far it will go, mm-hmm. and not necessarily we call hanging out with someone dating.
Yeah.
But if you're hanging out with five different people, then that's called friendship. And friendship is whatever, you know, yeah. that's, you should have friends that are the opposite sex and be able to have a non-sexually oriented interaction with the opposite sex. That should be a skill that you cultivate mm-hmm. because it's also something that's going to be required in the relationship, where we can intimately, emotionally blend our lives together. And it has nothing to do with the foreplay of sex, which classically is a problem for men. You know, men like, oh yeah, I'll engage in a conversation, I'll engage in your love languages if there's a payday. And so, you know, she doesn't feel cherished, she feels used.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, that's why he has to be able to have friendships that are non-sexual oriented, and she does too.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure it's a really smart idea to have multiple dating relationships where you're sorting mm-hmm. and you can stay disengaged as a practice, and you have options as a practice, because that sounds like you're laying a foundation in your life for future.
Yeah.
And that's
dangerous.
Probably not a really smart habit to get into.
Yeah. Which I think that, you know, the availability of these different apps and different things that are out there of how mm-hmm. people interact is, there's multiple conversations and, you know, the exchange of getting very honest and vulnerable in these different conversations. I think that's part of the ease to giving permission, is that they feel like there's a depth to their relationship because we've had this exchange through text or messenger or video chat or different things like that. So, mm-hmm. So to sum that question up, is we would recommend, if you're dating, that's a single
focus
person. If you are friends and getting to know someone with the possibility of dating, maybe that is more coffee dates are would be a fine.
I think that friendships begin to become exclusive, and mm-hmm. once things become exclusive, then we're dating.
Yeah. So great. That's mm-hmm. how we'll summarize that for you, Gigi. Hopefully that was helpful.
There we go.
Best of luck with you and your journey of finding that person and protecting your heart in the good way.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, the next question comes from Philip.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I've got a question. I'm a single dad. I want to start dating again. I'm feeling a little bit hesitant. I'd love some wisdom on how to navigate this new adventure in my life. Thanks.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a common question.
Yeah.
I think it just starts, you know, it starts out here and it starts moving its way, you know, to accessing your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a boundary issue, and it's a powerful issue, which is, I am looking out here, but it's not getting all over my children
yeah.
while I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And And then that is a serious consideration the day you invite that person into
the next ring of circles.
Yeah,
ring of circles.
The zone where the children are.
Yeah.
And this is not part of the question, but I'm going to answer it anyway. when you're pursuing a second marriage where there's children involved, that person has to pass into the children zone through the children zone into the spouse zone. Mm-hmm. And the mistake that a lot of people make is they feel so guilty about the devastation to the children of a divorce mm-hmm. that they say things like, I'll never let you experience that again. That next person will never be more important to me than you are,
yeah.
which is the setup for their next divorce, because this person comes in and they are going to be submitted to the children, mm-hmm. and that's the agreement. Mm-hmm. Instead of moving in and being in covenant with the other adult, leading the children. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question on top of this, because I agree. I've said that many times to working with, usually it's already married or newly married blended families. You know, they're having that struggle. So we talk about, okay, well, what role does the kids have and what role does the spouse have? But, you know, let's say someone is dating someone with children. Mm-hmm. So let's say Sally doesn't have any kids and Mike does. And Sally's going to be an infant mom if they get married. And they're pursuing, you know, marriage, but she's got reservations on it. Usually it's because of the third party parent that is somehow still tied to this child, obviously.
It sounds like a math word problem.
I know, mm-hmm. It's not Common Core. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at what point, you know, is it good for, you know, maybe the adult with a child who's looking at dating this person, like, because Sally hasn't fully committed to being a mom yet. But she knew when she started dating him that he had a child. So, mm-hmm. so what questions should they be asking when dating somebody? Like, are you ready to be a parent? Mm-hmm. Is that like a legit legal question you could ask this person? Like, I have a child. If we're going to date, are you ready to be a mom?
Oh, yeah.
Like, can you put that on the table right away?
Well, that's moving from...
Before they meet the kids?
From friend, yeah. You know, that's do you want to be a mom?
Mm-hmm.
I have a child. I have a couple children. What do you think of that? And it probably would be rooted in, I have no idea the question I'm answering right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you have no children, you really don't have accurate information. I mean, maybe you were the oldest child and you, whatever,
sure,
you,
sure.
you know, a nanny or something, but whatever. It's. Are you ready to be these children's mother? Mm-hmm. Is the next question?
Yeah.
You know. Are you even interested in the job? And do you want this one?
Yeah. So I think you probably need a really clear, powerful yes from that person before you keep going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so. that person's gonna. Feel like a victim.
Yeah, totally.
And not like a responsible decision maker.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, Philip will be praying for you mm-hmm. as you navigate those really great hard questions yeah. as you pursue this. So, all right. Well, our next question comes from Sarah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you so much for doing the Kyla Show. I need some help. I feel like my default is codependency. I desire to be a powerful person. And I will make progress and then I will let my guard down. And codependency is right there waiting for me. Do you have any suggestions on how I get rid of the crutch of codependency forever? It's no fun. Thanks.
No fun.
Yeah, probably having people around you that... will give you feedback.
Get to call you on, hey, you're doing that thing.
Hey, are you doing that thing? Because it feels like you're doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I hear you talk, it sounds like old things.
Mm-hmm.
there would be some kind of a commitment to welcome feedback, to, you know, no, I do these three things way more than I want to. Mm-hmm. I do it with my children. I do it with my mom, and I do it in relationships. I'm trying to help relationships be successful. Mm-hmm. So I do more of their work than they do, and then I am resentful.
Yes, then I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
I think last week we did two episodes of kind of the rescuer. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of would cover a lot of this for you, Sarah. So if you want to go back two episodes, if you missed it, but it's just really talking about kind of identifying that helper role that turns into a rescuer role and the pitfalls that you can have. And I think self-awareness goes a long way when you start to, you know, I think you described it as when I'm feeling frustrated. And why am I frustrated? I might be wearing someone else's problem. Mm-hmm. You know, your joy is gone. Those were kind of big indicators. But it was a really great description that we kind of talked through in those episodes. So I would recommend you go listen to those for getting out of a cycle of codependency.
Yeah, and probably the path out is to ask better questions than to come up with awesome solutions.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's how I feel with my kids. Yeah. With homework, with chores, with anything is.
And let them struggle. Let them just, you know, obviously there's brain activity going on called thinking. Just let them think and struggle and think and then ask another question. Mm-hmm. And it's the energy that they put into finding the solution that makes the solution so valuable when they get it. Mm-hmm. And then that skill is that's awesome parenting.
Yeah. So I think for Sarah, be okay with the silence, you know, letting the silence really kind of marinating their thinking process, which most likely you've probably created some relationships where they're used to you solving things for them. Mm-hmm. So you might have to retrain your friends or the people that you're around that you are not going to just have a buffet line of great options, but really great questions.
Because we train people how to treat us. Mm-hmm. And when we train people that we hate suffering, they dish up suffering in the triple heaps so that we will rush in and solve our problem, which is get you out of suffering.
Right.
We hate being uncomfortable, so we will solve your problem.
So we both feel better.
So I feel better.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Well, Sarah, I hope you find some breakthrough in this area because we want you to be a powerful person. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, these are great questions. I had fun with all of them.
Yep.
So we're going to move into testimonies next.
Good.
But thanks again for all the questions, guys.
Hey there. One more quick reminder about the Marriage Celebration Movement. We're celebrating healthy marriages because they're worth celebrating. If you want to take part, here's what we need you to do. We need you to take a picture with your spouse holding a sign of how many years you've been married. It could be 5 years, 5 months, or 50 years. It doesn't matter. We're celebrating you. You're going to post it on social media and tag @DannyLovingOnPurpose. Or you can send him a direct message or email us at info@lovingonpurpose.com. Just get it to us because we want to celebrate you. So, Marriage Celebration Movement, do it. Take a picture. Hold the sign. Number of years you've been married. Send it in. Let's celebrate healthy marriages.
All right, well, we're going to jump into our testimony spot. And this week's testimony comes from Anna.
Anna.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. Thanks so much for doing the Kylo Show. It is so helpful for me to hear these principles over and over again on a weekly basis. I am a 2 on the Enneagram, and I have been a helper my whole life. I don't even think about it. It's just my go-to thoughts and actions. This used to cause so many challenges in my life because I would just jump in and try and help people even though they didn't even have a problem. When I read Kylo and learned that you can't help anyone who doesn't have a problem, my life changed. It was a process of training myself not to jump in as soon as I saw a problem, but to start asking really good questions. It's still something that I catch myself doing from time to time, but I'm able to snap out of it so much quicker now that I know this truth. As a single woman, I have definitely tried helping as a dating strategy. I would meet a guy and see where he needed help, and I would do whatever I could to help him. But even if he didn't even have a problem, this left me feeling sad and lonely, even though the guy was fully unaware of the scenario I had built in my head. Jeez, that sounds so funny saying out loud, but it happened more than once. I'm so happy to say that I am free of the cycle of being the rescuer. Thank you so much for everything that you do. I can't wait to meet the man that I will build a whole healthy family with so I can help change the world.
That's a great plug there.
There's the slogan. Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're inspiring our singles to go build healthy families, which is the generation that we need. Keep bringing in those families and build more families.
Yep.
Change the world.
Yeah. I think the superpower that we bring to any relationship, whether it's like Anna's talking about helping just without even thinking about it, just like I'm just helpful, or you know, maybe you're just really a happy person, positive, optimistic, mm-hmm. up, you know, and you bring the party with you, mm-hmm. and people mm-hmm. think, you know, it's my job to bring the party, or the deep thinkers that, you know, just show up and listen, and everybody mm-hmm. finally goes, what do you think? Like, well, you know, and then they pop out their deep revelations, or there's some people that are very, very spiritually sensitive, emotionally sensitive, just sensitive. And they are kind of like the bumpers on bumper bowling, you know, mm-hmm. they kind of help us stay out of the gutter and stay out of the insensitivities and judgments and different things. And whatever superpower you bring to a relationship as a single person, just keep in mind that it is it's salt on the dinner. You know, if you overuse it, you wreck the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure that you get just really good at the right amount in mm-hmm. the situation, or it's going to start feeling controlling, manipulative, punishing, whatever. You know, it's going to change its flavor from helpful to hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again and again.
No. I remember the first time I feel like I heard you say that analogy. I was in high school. I was with a youth leader at the time. And he was one of those overzealous, excitable persons that just felt overwhelming and controlling. And I just remember you saying that. I was like, oh, that is how this feels.
Too much salt.
Too much salt. You know, he figured it out though. It was just great. I was just, you know, Ben and I had a conversation with a young couple that we're actually marrying this fall, and we were meeting with them, and you know, she wants to be the hype girl. She wants to be the one that brings the happy, you know, and he's needs a space to process the problem, but she wants to be the happy because he's sad. You know, it's kind of like the buffet of different things, and it's been really fun to watch her discover, like, I can't bring my hype girl, that's what we call it, to this situation because it's not actually going to help anything.
Mm.
I have to be mature enough to see that there's a different need that's needing to be happened in this moment, to give space to, you know, be okay with the sad or the pain, you know, and that it's not a party that's needed necessarily. But again, when you discover what your superpower is and then like how to use that superpower in the best form, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does bring so much life to this relationship, but it can be distorted and used poorly in even the purest of heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fun, again, to help people kind of the superpower that you have. It's beautiful, but understanding how to use it, when to use it, and really asking those good questions of, do you need this superpower right now? Mm-hmm. No. Okay, but I'll put it away. Mm-hmm. I was ready with the pinata. It was right here. It was ready. Mm-hmm. We had the mm-hmm. confetti cannons, but we're not going to do that right now because
pop.
Exactly.
Wow, you're not smiling.
You didn't like that. Yeah. So, I think, again, I laugh at Ben and I's superpower. You know, I think we've both had our own discovery of he probably was my hype guy for a while, and I was spitting out confetti in his face like, don't do that again, you know. But
I bring out my superpower when I think there's a super problem or there's a super opportunity or, you know, a super need.
Yeah.
And it's going to take time to really discover when you are open to my superpower and when you are closed to my superpower. Yes. Because when I bring my superpower, I used to call it, I had this magic happy dust.
Oh.
As a young boy, you know, I have a very codependent mom who is just getting trashed by all these relationships, just mowing through her life. And I'm her, you know, little
happy dust.
Superhero. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 8, 9 years old, and I can make her laugh. I can make her smile. I can make her forget. Mm-hmm. I can make her move on. These are all the lessons I'm getting as a kid. Is I can make my mom move through the suffering and be okay again. Because if she's okay, then I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that right into our dating and early marriage. And Sherry was on the earth to prove that my happy dust did not work, and it was true. I could not control her happiness, and I was so blown away. I'd never met anybody that my happy dust didn't work on, And so it's almost like she was going to be more miserable to prove that I couldn't manipulate her. I couldn't control. So in order for her to control herself, she had to be inconsolable, you know. And I pretty soon was hopeless.
Yeah.
You know, I was frustrated. I was really not really sure what happened, and that was a rough start because I did not do the work before I got married.
Right.
I mean, that we are married, that we are 37 years into this is a miracle. It would be like I got my head chopped off and it grew back on. It's just like
you're like
what?
The Men in Black guy.
Totally. It's so miraculous that we have worked through so many excruciating differences and emerged with a testimony. But whew, what a test.
Yeah. I think that's going back to how crucial it is to do the work beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I wasn't single for too long at all. So
let's see, you got married
at 18.
At 18.
Yeah. So I wasn't single for too long at all. And so Ben and I had our own rough years and we grew up a lot together. So thankfully we were paired in that we both had a value for growing. You know, we'd had different seasons of one growing faster than the other for sure. And we had our own cycles we had to discover. But I mean, on this side of it, anyone that I know that's single, that's in this relationship, that's serious, Ben and I are shouting as loud as we possibly can, please do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to have the hard years. And if you can avoid them, then I would. I mean, sure, I think there's things you learn when you live with someone and you get married to them, like how loud they breathe or how loud they are when they brush their teeth. You didn't know those things beforehand, then that's fine. But, you know, it's the values, the core values, you know, trying to marry someone thinking that you can change them, you know, is such a dangerous place. And I think a lot of times we have good intentions, but we get sucked into this trap that it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. So I think part of this really comes back to you being a powerful person and doing the work in you and identifying, you know, what is it that you are going to attract. You know, I was talking to Delaney, who's 16. We're not looking at any serious relationships right now, but I was telling her how confidence attracts confidence, you know. Values attract values, and standards attract standards. I mean, like, the more that that's obvious in your life, the more that that's going to be drawn out of someone else that you actually want to be around. Mm-hmm. And so the more that you create compromise in different areas, this is where you end up with scary relationships, because you made compromise after compromise. Mm-hmm. And here you are with somebody that is no fun.
I'm not sure who came up with the, you know, hey, make a list of all your expectations in the future, whoever.
All the girl movies.
Maybe that's where it came from. I don't know. But, you know, how tall they are, what color their hair is, how much they make, you know, how athletic they are, whatever it is. Those are the things that you're going to compromise in. Mm-hmm. But the things that you're not going to compromise in is really the signs that they either have done the work or are willing to do the work. Mm-hmm. And or able to do the work. So there's like three categories there. Like, are you willing? Are you willing to? What are you going to do? Because yeah. That sounds really scary. That sounds really miserable. That sounds. What do you do with that? Nothing. I just drink another beer. Like, wow. How long you had this? Yeah. Forever. My dad had it too.
Oh, you know, good.
Both my brothers have it. We just pretend like it's not there. Like, wow. Well, thanks for the coffee. Mm-hmm. Are you not willing to do anything? No, I'm not able to do anything. Like, oh. So those kinds of, you know, obstacles, it's more about, are you willing to learn and grow and change leading yourself? Or following someone, but not me. Like, I don't want to be, this is where I think I could change this person, is mm-hmm. where it comes from. It's like, follow me. I'll yeah. lead you into health. And matter of fact, why don't you just become me? Mm-hmm. Okay, because I like me, and the things I don't like about you are the things that aren't like me. So let me turn you into me. That is not going to work. And that is usually the wrong path people go down is, I'm really good at this. You need to get better at it. Follow me. No. It's, I'm really good at this. I know the work that it takes to do this. Where do you think you should start? Mm-hmm. What do you think your next steps are? Who do you know that can help you get there? When are you going to meet with them? You get better and better at asking questions to empower them mm-hmm. rather than to enslave them.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Try to control them.
Yeah. And that's what helps create powerful people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So powerful questions make powerful people. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Well, all the singles out there.
Whole healthy people.
Yep. Are going to create whole healthy families.
And we're going to save the world.
Yes.
All these superpowers.
That's it. So thanks so much for joining us at The Kylo Show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about inner healing and choosing love over fear. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. And don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, Sherry Silk, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.